Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. We've got a lot of things to cover, a lot of things to update. And then I have my good friend, Wendy. You know her from Bridesmaids, The Mom and the Goldbergs. We get into lots of Juicy Scoop. We also cover The Housewives and Sex and the City and so much more. So first, let me get into a very sad story, but at least there's been some arrests made. I talked about this story a while ago. There were two girls that were dumped in November. Their bodies were like on a sidewalk near two different hospitals found 2 hours apart. One hospital was in Culver City, which is in LA, and the other one was at a Kaiser in West LA. One girl was dead when they found her, and the other one was in a coma for a couple weeks, but she was declared brain dead, so the family had to make the terrible decision of taking her off life support. The only evidence they really had was that these girls were talking to each other and they were together, they were friends, and they said, let's get out of here, something to that effect. There were texts from them that they like, and they did like some weird scared emoji face. Well, they've arrested some people in this, and for David Pierce is the first one they arrested for manslaughter. I want to show you his face. This is David Pierce. He has been arrested for manslaughter. Then there's this other guy, Brant. Wait, is this one Brant or is this one?
Michael.
This is Michael Asbeck. This is a guy who's works on TV shows as a cameraman. He has worked on Vanderpump Rules. And then the last man is this guy, Brant Osborne, who's 42, and he is an actor. And they arrested him on the set of NCIS, and he's done some other things, but they just arrested him too. So they were all arrested. These two were arrested for accessory to murder, and then David Pierce was arrested for manslaughter. So what we know, the reason we know this, is because this guy was on set talking to two other actors, and he said, oh my God, I had the craziest night ever. I was partying with these girls. They had drugs. I left them and my friend to go get a COVID test for the commercial shoot. And when I came back from getting the COVID test, we realized that one of the girls was dead. So instead of calling 911, we drove her and left her by a hospital. He tells two people this. Then when we got back to the apartment, we checked on the other girl who I guess they thought that she was just passed out. They never bothered to check on her before. And they're like, oh my God, she barely has a pulse. So they take her in the car and take her to the other hospital, the Kaiser one in West LA. And that's the one who then was on life support for a couple weeks, but then was brain dead and had to take her off. The first girl that was found has a husband. Her name's Christy Giles. She was into modeling and whatnot, and she had a husband. The other girl that they had to take off of life support, she was an architect. Anyway, the girls were friends. They were social people, but in no means like drug addicts or anything like that. This is very confusing, all of it. But my guess is that David Pierce got, they have enough information to say that he is the one that is the one responsible for manslaughter, since he was left alone with the two bodies. Why the actor, the NCIS actor guy, went to get the COVID test. The good news is he doesn't have COVID. Now, sometimes you got to make a lot of these things. But anyway, it's just absolutely horrible. And I got an email from a Juicy Scooper who let me know. It's a very long email, so I'm going to just summarize it. But she dated this guy, David Pierce, on and off for 2 years, and he made her life a living hell. And before I even read this email, I saw these photos of this guy. And anybody that takes a photo with celebrities like this, like with their finger pointing to the celebrity, is a douche. I've never taken a photo like that. It's so douchey, okay? And, oh, also something I've never done is drop the mic after a performance of stand-up. Super annoying. I'm going to talk about Sex and the City just like that. But just like that, the comedian on the show drops the mic. I would never drop a piece of equipment. I don't know any female comic that has dropped the mic. It just seems so bizarre to me. Anyway, also this. Never done this. Of course, he's with Ron Jeremy, who's the grossest porn star and has also been accused numerous times of assault. And then, you know, of course, Paris was just in this photo. It's not her fault, you know. But anyway, he snuck into events. The things that this girl told me, he was just a total nightmare. She believes that one of the first nights that she met him, now looking back, that he put something in her drink. Because after one drink, she felt like she was like, you know, out of it, could barely walk. He was just did crazy things. He came to her house, and then he was walking weird out of her bathroom, and she found out that he was trying to steal the shampoo and her contact solution by putting it in his pant leg. She never knew what if he had a job. He just would always lie, and he'd try to, you know, he would con people into thinking that he could get them into the Playboy mansion. I mean, he lived a fake Hollywood life for 15 years. He acted like he knew people. He snuck into events. He just knew how to do that. And she never knew what he lived off of. And he would caress her. And she sent me the final text message was him being like, "Why are you being such a bitch? Did you get fatter or something? Does that make you a bitch?" And she's like, "Oh my God, leave me alone." She had to change her number numerous times. Oh, that's how when she changed her number, she went to AT&T and she changed her number to get away from him. And he went to AT&T and said to the guy, "I'll get you in the Playboy Mansion if you give me my girlfriend's number." He harassed her at work. He drove recklessly. He was just a maniac. And she always knew he was a psycho. Obviously, she's very freaked out that he was responsible for two deaths. But the police are saying that please come forward. They believe there's many other girls that they've drugged. And obviously, these three guys are together. I don't understand why I guess all three of them were hanging out that night with the two girls. So, but they believe that David Pierce is really responsible for the death. So scary because, you know, you're out and these guys, they're not that young anymore, but they're all pretty good looking, I could see. And you're like, okay. And, or they give them slip it into a drink or something. Now you're stuck at this place. They absolutely believe they gave them drugs, and then they OD'd. I think there was fentanyl found in their system. I think there was heroin found in their system. It's just so scary, the shit that's going on. You really, really need to be careful. Also, more news on Big and Chris Noth. This was in the National Enquirer from 1995, and it just came out. He was dating Beverly Johnson, who is this beautiful supermodel. I remember her being like the star of everything. They were a couple while he was on Law and Order. He was on that before Sex and the City. And she claimed that he beat her, that he threatened to kill her and her dog, and she was trying to get a restraining order. I don't think she ever prevailed in getting that restraining order, and nothing was really filed against him. But that was her story. Everyone forgot about it. Nobody cared that it was in the paper, you know. And then that was it. He went on. He did all this other stuff. So I'm guessing more stuff is going to come out too. I mean, I think he says I had consensual sex with these two women that are claiming that it was sexual assault. I can't if he was open to cheating on his wife. I can't imagine how easy it was to get girls to be interested in him, even if they knew he was married, for the exact reasons of like, oh my God, it's big, he's charming, he's fun, you know, I feel safe, whatever. So I mean, it's really terrible. We'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting what more kind of comes out. Okay. Tristan, another great guy out there, Tristan Thompson. So now he is saying, yes, I did have sex with her. I think her name's Marley. I did have sex with her. You know, so if this child is mine, then okay, it's mine, but it could have only been conceived in Texas. He still wants to keep the paternity suit in Texas because I guess he believes in the end he'll be paying less child support if it's filed in Texas versus California. That has now, it's done. It is going to happen in California. The baby is in California. She has, I guess, proof that they were intimate in California as well. She said she met him at a party in Encino. And he said right off the bat, I'm totally single. I co-parent with, you know, with Chloe. We know that Chloe, you know, gave him a beautiful tribute on his birthday in March. That is the night that he says he did sleep with her in Texas, this girl. So it certainly seemed like they were together on his birthday and he wasn't being faithful. Anyway, the baby's here. He's a boy. She's saying that she, all those other Instagram accounts and stuff were fake. She never put stories out there. She never talked to anybody. E! News is the first person she's talking to. And she's like, I just want to focus on my baby and, you know, and get the support I am entitled to from the father of my child. So there you go. But wow, everybody kind of looks the same, but she does sort of look like she could be a Kardashian too. Alec Baldwin must surrender his cell phone for forensic search in the Russ death probe. Again, no one's been arrested in this, but I guess they want to look at his cell phone to see if there was anything that would give them any more evidence to see what in fact actually happened. We still do not know what happened. I just watched the special on it, and there was real, basically in a nutshell, there were real bullets mixed in with blank bullets. But at the same time, people were also shooting real bullets on set on their off time. So some people feel like it was sabotage and it was, you know, purposely put in, mixed in, or it could have just been so much negligence of a lot of people on the crew. I don't know, but they still don't know why was there a real bullet put in a gun that was told was cold and there were no bullets in it, and it was a real bullet. So they're seeing if there's any type of conversations, I guess, that he may have had on his phone that would indicate something other than what he's been telling the police. You guys remember this scandal? I know I talked about it. It was back in 2017. It's the biggest scandal that ever happened with a GoFundMe. The story was that this girl was out of gas, and this homeless guy gave her his last $10 for her to get $10 of gas to get home. She told the story on social media, and she said, I've kept in touch with him. He's a former vet, and he's been struggling, and we're going to start a GoFundMe to help him. And it raised $400,000. Then there was talk of like, wait a minute, the couple has the money. The guy doesn't have the money. The guy's saying he didn't get the money. What really happened was 2 weeks before the girl, quote unquote, ran out of gas, she and her boyfriend met this quote unquote homeless guy at a casino. They thought up the idea to say, we're going to act like you're homeless. We're going to act like you gave me your last $10. And then we'll get whatever money we get from a GoFundMe, we'll split. They never, I think, anticipated that they would get as much as they did. So anyway, they did a documentary on it. It's going to be on Hulu. They talked to the people at GoFundMe. They talked to all the players in it and everybody that started to be suspicious about it. So I definitely want to watch that. That's super juicy. All right, you guys, now for my super fun interview. Hello, it's me. Thank you so much for watching my show, Juicy Scoop, here on YouTube. Well, the only way that can continue is if it grows, and that is up to you. You need to subscribe, you need to like, and you need to share this YouTube channel with people that you like, or even if you don't like and you want to be nice to them. Let them have some joy watching Juicy Scoop. Hello, and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have returning guests, fellow groundling star of the Goldbergs, Reno 911, Bridesmaids, too many other shows to count, Wendy McLendon Covey. Did I say it right?
McLendon Covey?
Covey,
but
sorry.
It's fine.
I just call you Wendy.
Yes, it's fine.
All right. We have so much to discuss. Yes. First, I just want to make people aware that the Reno 911 movie is coming next week.
December 23rd.
Oh, in Reno 2 days, because it's this Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Hunt for QAnon, which we filmed back in August. I never thought there would be another Reno movie. There was one. We all got to do it. It was so much fun. And I have a weird sense of humor, so I thought this one is better than the Miami movie.
Great.
Lots of laugh. I mean, listen, we're not doing Parasite. We're not – this is not –
yeah.
You know, an artistic film. It is Reno at its best, us being idiots. If you don't like conspiracy theories, don't watch this if you are triggered by that.
Okay. But good trigger warning.
It is really funny. We end up on a terrible QAnon booze cruise.
Oh, my God. I'm like loving it.
Trying to serve the actual Q with papers. Okay. Mayhem ensues.
I am so excited. Yeah. Of course, as your maid of honor from the funnest day ever on set, when I was, for those of you that don't know, I remember I auditioned as they were looking for the character.
Uh-huh.
I did not get it.
Okay.
Thank you, because you got it. But the good news is the casting people loved me so much, and they loved that I like did this crying thing or something. Yeah. So that then when they wrote that you were going to have a maid of honor, I got to be the maid of honor, and the stuff was so funny, and it really is so improvised.
Yeah, 100% improvised.
I mean, and like three takes done.
And it's, you were hysterical. And if any of your Juicy Scoopers want to see this, it's the very first season that we ever had, which I think is on HBO Max right now.
Oh, okay.
And it's the Clementine Gets Married.
Oh, my
episode.
God. I'm going to watch
and
it.
And there's Heather in all her crying glory being hysterical.
And I just remember being on set and, like, I was so impressed. Now, we did not know each other because you came to Groundlings like a year behind me or something.
Right.
So we never had classes together, anything. But I remembered all the funny things that, like, you and Niecy thought to do with your own character's appearance. And one of it was you did your makeup and you would not blend. And I remember going, how did you think to do that? That is such a smart character thing,
you know?
And when we did the Groundlings Theater, it was so much of that, of like costuming your character and figuring out these, you know, these things that your character would have. And I like that, you know, you were glam-ish, but like definitely.
Definitely small town glam. And yeah, at the Groundlings, we were always trying to be as ugly as we could, as character-y.
I actually wasn't, and I remember that was like a note.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, Heather, you don't always have to be the pretty girl. And I'm like, well, I'm single, and the seat seats 99 people.
Yeah.
And okay. And I remember being like, God, like I remember like Karen Mariamo.
Right, right. Yeah.
She gave herself like a mustache once, like a girl that let her mustache grow out.
Oh,
and I thought that was so brilliant, but I'm like, I don't know if I can do it.
Oh,
I don't know if I can do it. I still was like, there were things where I was, but I could have even come up with funnier things if I would have let go of a little bit of the vanity.
Oh my God, that is the most fun thing in the world.
Well, now
is letting go of the vanity. Oh. Amazing.
Well,
I did not know that about you.
Maybe that's why I didn't make it in the main company.
Well, or that, you know, things were really fucked up back then. you were meant for bigger things that were more than 99 seats.
Yes. Right? But God, it's...
You were meant for a much larger audience.
I always said we had 18 people on our Sunday show and could not fill that place. I'm like, my God, if everyone just invited two people, we'd pretty much have it filled.
Are you kidding? Wow. That's crazy.
And then once I started doing stand-up and stuff, I'm like, God, it really is not that hard to fill that place, you know? So I would always just... I had such a long list of, like, comps because I would go out to, like, clubs and stuff, invite people to the shows. And then finally one day they said, okay, we have to limit your comps. I'm like, nobody's here.
Nobody's here. Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember being in the main company and there was a series of shows that were just like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? There's nobody in the audience. I saw my manager sleeping in the back and I was like, I think I need to stop. That was my last run of shows that I did.
Definitely one time where we realized there were more people on stage than there were in the audience.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Mm. Wait, we're going to do a lot of things, but I wanted to get a good – what was your – do you have – and I don't know if you have one at the top of your head. If not, maybe it'll come to you later in the show. Okay. Someone asked, what is her worst audition story?
Oh.
Or you can tell more than one.
I've got a couple.
Okay.
I've got a couple. By the way, I am self-aware enough to where I will stop an audition and say, let's not keep going. If I know it's going really, really bad, let's both cut our losses and you can go on and do your thing and I'm going to leave. Like, I'm not going to keep embarrassing myself.
Okay.
But I remember being in an audition room and...
What was it for, do you?
It was for a kids' movie starring a formerly famous comic.
Okay.
From the 90s.
Okay.
And we were supposed to be acting like children.
Now, so was this like before your success or was this... Like, had Reno 911 yet?
It was during that.
Okay.
It was during
that. So you were working, but you weren't famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember talking baby talk. Like, we were on the ground, and this audition wouldn't fucking end. We were on the ground pretending to be children, and then at one point, I was riding on his back like a horsey, and I'm thinking, if this ever gets out, there is no way... to spin this into something good. I don't even want this job.
Wait, you're writing the former stand-up 90s hot stand-up. Okay, I can't wait for you to tell me after the show.
Yes,
but
I will tell you after the show.
Okay. Because that's what the role called for?
We were improvising, and it just kind of went that way. Because we were improvising as children. By the way, is there anything more annoying than watch adults in their 30s acting like children? No one wants to see that.
Except Mike McDonald's character.
Oh, that's true.
What was his name again?
Stuart.
No. No. From Mad TV.
But even then, a whole movie about Stuart?
Did he get a whole movie?
No, but I'm just saying.
Like, oh, okay.
So that happened once and that was terrible. And then I found out at a movie premiere, one of the other actresses in the movie that was premiering, she goes, I just booked this job. And it was the one that I'm talking about. And I'm like, God bless. I'm so glad you got it. I didn't tell her I auditioned.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah.
How humiliating it was. But I also promised that no one has ever heard of this movie. It came out.
Okay.
Straight to, I think, videotape.
Yeah.
So that happened once, and then, oh my God, I went in for one of those procedural shows.
What does that mean?
Like CSI.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, where there's like a lot
technical.
Of cutting up.
Technical?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one of those auditions, and you've been to these, where you can hear what's going on.
Oh, like as you're waiting to go
as
in?
As you're waiting.
Oh, and you're hearing everyone do it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's the only thing, it's the only kind I do. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to listen because it's helping me memorize the lines.
Yeah.
But, and then I also feel like I'm sort of cheating because I'm like hearing the notes before.
Yeah, but they set you there.
Yeah.
You know? Or that, but then it makes you second guess the choices that you
make.
And if
right, because you're hearing what someone else is doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then one by one, actors kept coming out. And it was like a 7-page scene for a guest star. That's a lot. That's – come on. Especially when you know they make their decision within 10 seconds of you even starting to read.
Right.
So you're hearing all this lengthy, lengthy procedural dialogue. And people one by one are coming out totally dejected, like, oh, that sucked. That sucked. So I go in and I start doing my thing and I'm looking at everybody. They're checking their phones. They're looking at their watches. And I said, thank you so much. I don't think this is going well. I'm going to go.
I am so impressed. Okay. Wasn't that a great feeling though?
Yeah. Like,
look, and what did they say?
You guys know the problem here. If you're not going to come out and say, you know what, we're only going to do the first 2 pages.
Right.
You're really going to sit there and listen to 7 pages of dialogue from each actor. Like, come on.
Yeah.
This is stupid. So I left. And I don't know. Don't be afraid to do that if it's not going well.
I love that.
At least you know, like, hey, I'm being self-aware here. I at this point, don't even want this job. If you're going to sit there and check your phone and look at your watches and go, during my audition, I'm not going to get it.
I did have a friend one time that called the casting director, like, on being, like, rude and, you know, called her out. And then the woman was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And, like, probably because she was afraid that they'd tell on her or whatever.
Yeah.
But I remember it was a sitcom called The Townies or something.
Yes, I remember The Townies.
Oh, okay. And it was – and I think Molly Ringwald got it and then 2 other people. So I am so excited. I'm going out for the main lead. I have memorized. I've met with a coach, everything.
Oh, my God. You really put in
the
work.
Because I really felt this was, you know, my friends or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm sitting out there and I hear the casting director before she calls me in. Oh my God. So they agreed. That is great. So we've got a redhead, a blonde, and a brunette. And I'm like, they've already cast it. I'm like, what am I doing? But then my mind was always like, well, now she'll get to see how great I am. And maybe she'll call me in for something else. But what I should have done is just been like, so this has been cast. Okay. Then like, goodbye. Just the amount of time that it would take, like, driving to the lot and figuring out which gate you're supposed to be in.
But you are right. Because, I mean, listen, most of the time, the things I audition for, I don't get, but I get something else.
Yes.
From that casting
director. Right, exactly. Like, I didn't get the main part, but then they called me for a role.
Yeah.
So I always think that. But it is weird when you already know going in
that
it's done.
Cast the role you're reading for.
Yeah.
You know, that happened to me one time, too. I went... and I was so nervous. I took off work and everything, drive in, and I hear the casting director on the phone. She didn't know I was in the waiting room. And she goes, oh, yeah, the whole thing's cast. I mean, I'm seeing a few other people just for the hell of it. But and I was like, God, all of a sudden, I don't feel very funny right now. I went in and did it, but I sucked, you know?
Well, the thing I want to talk about that upsets me more than anything, and I've talked about this before, is when stand-up comics, especially female stand-up comics, perform the character as a stand-up comic that writers are writing for. And it's always, if we actually see them perform stand-up, it is the most unfunny material ever.
Oh, my God.
So on our show that we've been watching, and Just Like That.
Uh-huh.
This latest episode, which you have not watched, you're only 2 in, and I want to get your opinion of everything. But I want to say, I'm going to ruin it for you.
Okay, that's all right. Ruin it.
Because, I mean, it's bad enough that I have to live in real life and know that Netflix did not buy my special that I produced myself, and it's available on Amazon Prime. Thank you. Also on Patreon. Also, just I'm putting up the clip, so who cares?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm emotionally invested in what you're going to say. Yes.
I have to see the actual people that are getting it instead of me in real life. Okay.
Right.
And now I have to be just as pissed in my other real life, which is I've placed myself in and just like that.
Yes.
This chick, the girl who, or the the they, or I don't know, that run,
Sara Ramirez.
Yes, who runs the most unfunny podcast on earth. She records her Netflix special. She gets a Netflix special. And the episode is only, I think, 44 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
55 minutes long. Her stand-up is a solid over 5 minutes that we watch.
What?
Yes!
First of all, you called it. You called it. Long
called
ago
so many,
when you talked
so
about
things.
This reboot.
And I also want to say, people, don't write me prediction. You can't predict now. Yeah. You can't predict now because, of course, you're seeing the foreshadowing. That's just called foreshadowing. Yeah. I predicted this shit 7 years ago.
Yes, you
okay?
did.
So it's annoying. But, of course, okay. I don't know what she goes by, but she's queer, okay?
Yes.
This stand-up special, which is called Check the Box, is her stand-up special. I have never seen a stand-up special.
Cringe.
Where they're standing. I don't know if the set people just didn't want to put down, rent a theater.
Yeah.
Who does that? Or they wanted to show everyone.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
They're all standing. And I think it's
standing
because.
Standing room only?
They're standing for an hour?
No one will do
that. Watching stand up. And then they're like, I think now because I think they want to show all like the queer people that are like wearing dresses, but they're not a woman. I don't know.
Right.
They wanted to show all these different. And, you know, I knew Miranda was going to be a lesbian from
sure.
7 years ago.
Of
okay.
course.
And we knew that she was going to be flirty with this person the moment we saw her. I don't know that.
The characters of them.
Does Carrie refer to?
Yeah.
As they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, anyway. Obviously there's like now this like attraction going
yes.
on, you know? And Miranda's so geeky, like just as geeky as she was in the second movie of like, I'm reading everything about Abu Dhabi. Ooh, Abu Dhabi. Remember that one? She's like, they like dates. I'm studying it. Like she was such a geek. So she's like as geeky in this. Like she's just like, oh, I've been listening to your podcast, Carrie. And Shay, oh, that's the character's name. Shay's funny. I'm like, Shay is not funny.
Not at all.
Not funny. Anyway, the stand-up is horrific.
Oh, no.
Horrific. And it's so not funny. And it's all about, you know, she comes out there and she goes, so I'll tell you, I've dated men. Woo! I've dated women. Woo! I've fucked a man who could satisfy me. He was the one.
Oh.
I want to die. And then raise your hand if I fucked you. And like half the crowd cheers. Raise your hand if you fucked me. I'm like, what is this stand-up?
Dear God.
What is this stand-up? And then Miranda's like, it's okay. And then, finally, after the end of the 5 minutes, so two things are happening here. We zoom in on Charlotte's face because Charlotte's daughter says she doesn't want to be referred to as baby girl anymore because she doesn't feel like a girl.
Okay.
So Charlotte's hearing this story of, you know, Shay coming out and whatever. And she's like, oh, okay. But then Miranda's sitting there and she's like, yeah, I think I might want to eat this girl's box. Like, I don't know. Like,
I want to get all up in there.
Yeah, yeah. She is down. And so anyway, then at the end, she is like, I think you need, she's like, you are like a comedy prophet. And she's like, I think you need to have a little weed. I'm not gonna. And then she blows it, and then she gets right into Miranda's face. And then, what do they call it? Gun smoke or something?
Shotgun.
And then blows it in, and then she's like,
oh boy.
Yeah, she's wearing a jumpsuit. She probably had to change her underwear after.
Someone's gonna cheat on their deaf husband. Yeah.
Who, by the way, hello, Sex and the City writers who obviously listen to Juicy Scoop. Also in this scene, Deaf Steve was able to hear everything she said. Well, from two rooms away, she's making an ice cream sundae. And she's like, do you want chia seeds? And he's like, yeah, I'll have the chia seeds. His back is turned to her. Yeah. I'm like, I thought he couldn't hear the phone ring.
Yeah, he couldn't hear the phone ring, but he could hear who was talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Miranda was going to go for the professor.
Well, a couple people thought that too.
Uh-huh.
And no way. No. She's not going to break up a family.
Listen.
And that professor does not seem gay at all.
No. Yeah, but there was there was that hero worship type of thing. I don't know.
No, I think they just want to have a diverse cast.
Yes.
And a younger cast. And her storyline of trying to get pregnant and being the breadwinner is also like an interesting female storyline. So they're going
to
do that.
And then the other new girl has
the mean mother-in-law.
Okay, Nicole Ari Parker, who is stunning.
I love she's believable in her character. It's believable that she'd be friends with Charlotte. It's believable that she'd wear those outfits.
Yeah.
This is a couple, like, all of that. And the professor is, too.
Yeah.
And so is this character. She's just not funny. Shay's just, they're not writing Shay funny things.
No.
I believe she's a believable character. Like, she embodies this person.
Right.
I just get angry that the podcast sucks and isn't funny and that the stand-up sucks. She's a good actress.
And that Bobby Lee is playing the Joe Rogan-type character. Oh, hey, have you ever jerked off on the subway?
I know. Like, as a mother of sons, I'm actually triggered on how horribly you are presenting a straight male. Are you kidding me? And he's like, he's sitting there and he's like, so I got this girl and she's stalking me. And then the person beeps like, boop, boop, woke police or something. I don't know. And then he's like, oh, this girl, she's like a secret. Oh, the references, everything.
Yeah. As a mother of boys.
Yes.
What do you think about Brady?
Awful. I hate it.
Absolutely disgusting. He's 17. Okay, you reference him having sex. We don't need to see it.
All the time.
We don't need to see it or hear it. That is creepy.
Well, when they're making their ice cream, the girl is wearing a t-shirt with what appears to be just underwear, and the t-shirt's like at her pelvis. And Deaf Steve, he's not blind. He can see her. He's deaf. He can see her. And like her tits are like a big t-shirt where you get like side tit. And then they're going upstairs to, you know, and she goes, don't eat that. I don't know where those hands have been. And then, you know, they're letting them screw all the time. I never agreed with people that let their kids have sex in their house. I was like, it's fine if you know they're having sex, but think about their education. If you're letting this girl spend the night on a Tuesday night so that your horny son can fuck her three times in the night, how is he going to do well on his Spanish test in the morning?
Well, yeah. And also, why is she able to do – why is anybody able to, like, have sleepovers in the middle of the week? Also, you and I were raised in a different time by religious parents. My mother would have smacked the shit out of me, put a scarlet A on my – jacket.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. But
I always thought, like, even if you know your kids are having sex, why make it so easy for them?
Yeah.
They're not adults. They don't get to sleep in the same bed every night. That's a privilege of once you're old enough and you can choose to live together. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, you see each other on a Friday night. You maybe sneak in the afternoon when no one's home in the bed. Otherwise, you're doing it in the car. You know,
like a normal person.
Yes.
Yeah. You think you want to do this? Well, you can try you not can to get caught.
You could be inconvenienced.
Exactly.
God.
And buy your own condoms.
Exactly.
I don't know. That skeeved me out so much.
I hate it. And it's like, I hate that that storyline I hate the most.
Yeah.
Also, because I'm like, isn't this putting you in jeopardy having a minor girl in your house all the time?
Well, yeah.
With a man, the dad, and your son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, but things I do like about it, I think the ladies look great.
I do personally. Too. And I also want to say I love Miranda's style.
Yes.
Her clothes and her style, and she has a great body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
And
I love,
she looked so chic at that funeral.
I love the hair. I love the glasses. I think they all look good.
Yeah.
I think they all look good. But of course, they had to say that they were 55 every time.
They had to keep mentioning
it. They said it. They're like, oh, she's like, I didn't think I'd be sitting on these steps at 55 or whatever. We got it. You're 55.
Yeah, you don't have to keep announcing it. We know how old you are. We've been on this journey with you.
But then I thought about it. And in the old ones, the writers were obsessed with age, too. I mean, they're about as obsessed as a People magazine. You know how People magazine always would be like Heather McDonald and then the age, you know, and no matter what. Could be so insignificant. It could be like a nurse and they'd like say her age. And you're like, I don't think I need to know this nurse's age. Whatever.
Yeah.
So they always do that with the celebrities. But I kind of remember that, too, how like when Charlotte's like, I've been dating for 15 years. I'm 35. I'm exhausted, or whatever her story was.
Yeah.
They made a big deal about Carrie's shitty birthday.
That's true.
Of course, they made a big deal out of Samantha's whole thing.
Yeah.
Her age. So they are kind of obsessed with the age, but I'm like, we got it now.
We got it. And then the Charlotte's husband. Why? Is it weird for a 58-year-old man to be skateboarding through the foyer? Yes. It is.
There's no way that after you...
And announcing it. And touching the wallpaper like you don't know how to behave.
Also, you already went up the elevator and walked the hall, and then you put down your thing again?
Yes. Yes. You're cool. We get it.
But the minute I saw that, I was like, ah, she's trans. In our day, that would be a tomboy.
Yeah.
Or someone that just liked to skateboard.
Sure. there are femme skateboarders out there too. I mean, what? I don't know. Listen, less on the kids. I don't really care about the kids that much.
So, Carrie's obviously going to date the hot podcast producer. He did laugh at one of her jokes.
I did see him. That was interesting foreshadowing. Yeah.
So that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just grateful that we got the will reading. She's got millions and millions of dollars, which I'm just grateful she doesn't have to start Patreon, because if she had to start Patreon, I was like, stop fucking stealing my joke.
She would not be a good content creator.
No way. She's not. Yeah. No one wants to hear about you. But
your backdoor jokes. No, thank you.
So,
and puns. Ugh.
Yeah. So do you think Samantha made the right decision, Kim Cattrall, as an actress?
I do, and I think they're handling it very well because they're still incorporating the character. Like,
right.
Okay, if anything happens and she does want to come back.
Right.
Let's say if we drag this out even longer, you know, because no one wants to see that character get trashed.
Right.
You know, but I understand if she didn't want to do it again.
Right. Well, you know? I don't think they're making her look that great, though, that she never returned a text, even after the love of your friend's love of your life husband dies.
Well, but didn't she send that beautiful thing of flowers?
Yeah, but still, I think you could respond to a text or write a little bit more. Like, I know.
Well, weren't they texting?
Yeah, but then she showed it again that it was still all unreturned texts and it was all like on read.
And well, I guess we'll have to keep watching and see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, would you like to ask Samantha anything? Because I do a Samantha. She's in London. She just watched the stand-up special.
Okay. Yeah, Samantha.
Yes.
There's this comic out there named Che.
Oh, is that the one that does that podcast with Carrie, XY, and what is it? X, Y, and me. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. How would you promote her? She kind of, like, what is her market? Like,
well, look,
just everybody?
Listen, I mean, back in the 80s, nothing got me wetter than a bull dyke. But you can't use those words anymore. So honestly, I don't really know what to do. I couldn't understand. Check the box. What box? The box that I went down on when I was a lesbian for that one season with
Sonia Braga?
Yes, with the Argentinian artist. Listen, I'm all for comedy. I just say, be funny. No, I don't think she'd want to take her on as a client.
No.
But anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm never going to not watch it.
Of course. We're
but
always
I have to
gonna
say,
watch it.
I had to watch it twice because I watched it last night after I came home from Josh Flagg's Christmas party. And when I'm buzzed, I don't remember things as well as when I have to watch before I go to bed. And I thought it was pretty boring the second time, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not going to stop.
And good on you for going out, and you're going to parties.
Well,
you are taking advantage of this Christmas season.
Oh, well.
Good for you.
It was COVID testing. Everybody got rapid COVID tested. Mm-hmm. It was outside, which I was concerned about because it was a very chilly night. But Josh Flagg has a lot of older, wealthy clients.
Yes. They're,
and so the theme was Dynasty and wear your furs. And I'm going to tell you right now, yes, I own a fur. I only own it because my dad bought it for my mother in 1964.
So it's
there's
vintage.
No way to bring this sable back
into
the wild, okay? But I've been very scared to wear it anywhere but at a Josh Flagg Christmas party. Anyway, I want to say it's like a sable wrap.
Yeah.
Keeps me so much warmer than like a long trench coat thing.
Right.
I see why people were into furs at one time. I'm not saying kill anyone new.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But if you have one and it's like in cold storage or it's in the closet, I mean, I don't keep mine in cold storage, it's just in my closet. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you must buy a fur, buy a vintage. There's no reason to keep.
Yes.
You know, there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah,
they do keep you warm. If you're going to a Nordic area for vacation or something, you need that.
Or if it's a COVID Christmas
party.
Or
if it's a COVID Christmas party,
and you
want
to
represent.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And also, there were six plainclothes security guards throughout the party.
Really?
Like, kind of hot.
Okay.
So I liked that.
And so...
And then Spelling just brought her own.
Hello? Is
why
that
not?
Necessary?
Sure, why not?
Was anybody naked under their fur? Like in Dynasty? You know, I always thought, because I got into my dad's Playboys so early...
Oh, man, I love
anyone
those Playboys.
Wearing a fur coat was naked underneath.
Yes.
Like, ready to... I just thought that was the only reason you would wear a fur coat
and I also
in
feel
Southern
like
California.
I also feel like that was like in a lot of movies back then.
Oh, yes.
Like the woman would like knock on her husband's door, I'm seeing my husband, and then like take it off.
Boom. Yeah.
Exactly. And then maybe we did see that in Dynasty. I feel like we saw that a lot.
A lot. On soap operas? I remember all the soap operas had some lascivious fur coat.
Yes, and then you would just see the fur at the naked leg at the bottom.
All the time.
Yes.
Oh, we were warped. We were just warped by fur.
Well, it was very disappointing because Melissa Rivers showed up. Not that she's disappointing. I like her a lot. But of all the times to wear a Joan Rivers fur, she said, I didn't have time to get out one from cold storage or whatever.
Oh, my.
I was like, so she was wearing just like a fake one from J. Crew.
Okay.
Of all the nights...
Yeah.
Melissa.
How much is she paying for that cold storage?
I don't know, but I mean, you know Joan had the best furs ever.
Of course she did.
She used to have a joke where she's like, oh, shut up. These furs have had the best time of their life. They've been to the theater. They've been all over the world. Like,
oh, my gosh.
She had some joke like that, but yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just was like, you should have made time today.
Yeah, of all the days.
I would have, I'm like, you could have called me. I would have gone and opened it up for you and picked one out for you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, did you
it's
have
not like
a good
I
time?
Could wear a Joan Rivers fur unless it was a wrap. I couldn't wear a coat. She's too tiny. But Melissa's tiny. I had a great time.
Yeah.
The food was amazing.
Past apps or buffet?
Oh, past apps. Okay, so first of all, they had a first, when you're waiting for your COVID result, there's a person with the caviar to make the little
– Classy.
To make the little thing.
Uh-huh. The little blini.
The little blini. Yeah. And I put every single thing on it. The red onion, the egg, the whole thing.
And you like caviar.
I don't see how you can't like caviar when you put it with all those other things.
Yeah. See, I don't like fish of
any
type.
It doesn't even taste like fish to me. Once you put the sour cream and the egg in it, just like, and it's like a little baby pancake.
I
mean, so walk in, champagne, vouv, waiting. So.
Yes.
Then you can get any drink you want, any wine, any Cosmo, whatever. There's two bars outside. House decorated to the nines.
So this is at his actual house?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
In Beverly Hills. Then there is, you know, then there's these people that brought their own, like a company that brings their own wood-burning pizza place.
Oh, my God.
On a cold night, wrapped in a fur. Does anything taste better? So I had definitely a piece of that pizza for sure. And then they had a live pianist and singer that could sing anything. Goodness. But then when she'd take a break, they'd play like Mariah Carey. Then Taylor Dane was there. She took the mic. Tell it to my heart. And she looks amazing. Her body, everything.
Oh, my God.
So she sang.
Taylor Dane. I grew up with Taylor Dane on my stereo.
She is timeless. She looks
That's
so good.
Awesome.
So somehow she knows who I am. She's coming on Juicy Scoop.
Of course she knows who you are.
Thank you.
Who doesn't know who you are, Heather McDonald?
Martin Ballard was there, decorator of the stars. Do you know him? Oh. He's English. Anyway, he came with his fur and his diamond pen. But his husband, who I adore, was not there. Do you know why? He couldn't find a dog sitter.
Respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
So, and I 100% believe them.
Yeah.
Because only in Beverly Hills with a married gay couple would someone not leave because they didn't, their dog sitter was unavailable. And you're not just going to leave the dog with another dog sitter.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Or leave it alone?
No, you can't.
Absolutely.
To go to a party
not.
For
what
three
kind of a savage does that? For a Christmas party?
What kind of dog parent are you?
The SPCA.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
So.
That is the most Hollywood thing I've heard in a while.
Sit down.
Yeah.
I sat across from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Crystal, who was on my show. She's the newest one.
Crystal.
She's
okay.
She's very pretty. She's so pretty.
Yeah.
Her husband, who is very nice and fun. And also at my table was Adrienne Maloof from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She was showed up in a little red jumpsuit. Candy was there, and the guy stood behind her.
Candy
Spelling.
Wow, yeah.
Candy Spelling.
And he stood behind her.
No, I don't know if he stood.
Ate.
I think he just stood staring at her. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But you know what? I thought it was a great idea. You're a single woman. There's never been more crime in Los Angeles. You have a ring on your finger that you want to wear. That's whatever, 100 carats.
Sure.
You need a driver anyway. Why
that
not
does
be
make
a driver
sense.
And a former FBI agent or whatever he is?
Safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but all these guys that are like in suits. You know, they really have to work, so I don't think they even got to enjoy the food. Because they're, like, looking around for when someone's going to bust in, and which never happened. It was
That's
great.
That's mean. Especially when the smell of wood fire pizza is wafting around.
So then it was a Caesar – so then he does the Caesar salad recipe from Chasen's.
Oh, my God. Delicious.
Which no longer exists. But as you know, that's where I met my husband, Tom Girardi. I was a waitress that I know the Caesar salad very well. And I have to say, a Caesar salad, you're like, that's not that exciting. It really is so fucking delicious when it's like a really good Caesar, just loaded with garlic, just the croutons. We ate every bite.
Oh.
Then the other meal was a Cipriani from Cipriani, like this delicious chicken with like tomatoes and like some yummy risotto. And I mean, every bite of that. And then we had ricotta cream cheese, which, as you know, there is a cream cheese shortage. And all these people can't get – I couldn't get cream cheese at Trader Joe's.
Really?
But Josh Flagg served cream cheese cake. I mean
– ricotta cheese cream cheese. Yeah.
Cheesecake. Yeah.
Damn. I didn't know
that. I mean, the decadence.
I haven't bought cream cheese in a long time. The decadence.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that
sounds like a really fun party.
It was really fun. And then – stopped raining just as we sat down outside. So that was okay. And then then I went inside because I wanted to stay long.
Yeah.
And I talked to Nikki Haskell, who's like this like lady that used to like interview people at Studio 54.
She
like knew Joan and stuff.
Yeah.
And Joan Rivers. And then that was it. Yeah. And then but we had to go home.
And then you had to go home. And
I would have stayed longer, but Peter's always like, we're not going to be the last ones there. I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, you and Josh Flagg are like buds. So, I mean.
I also think, you know, you invite someone like me and I truly appreciate, as you can tell, the details of the party.
Yes.
That go into it.
Yeah, you are a good guest.
I'm not going to all of a sudden be like, kind of over that. I'll never be over being served a 3-course meal. and have any drink I want and be able to wear my mother's fur.
So wait, did you do a post-game wrap-up with Josh later on? You know how, like, after you throw a party, you want to talk to somebody and, like, deconstruct the whole evening?
I always say, let's recap. Yeah. I have not yet today because I know he probably was, like, sleeping, but I will. I will call him later today, probably.
Yeah, you're a good person to do that with because you appreciate detail.
Let's talk about other great parties. Yes. Real Housewives of O.C.
Oh,
you
for
are
God's
caught-
sakes.
Heather Dubrow is back. She threw a party. Do you imagine being at the Nobu party and not being able to get the sushi? I would have absolutely been like, I'm taking some home with me. Like, I will never be that person that doesn't eat. By the way, they were offering second rounds of the entree, and I almost did it. And then I was like, Heather, just stop. Like, you ate a full meal.
Yeah.
But I could have.
You wanted to keep those memories in your stomach.
I kind of regret it. Why didn't I get another entree? But I didn't. Anyway, yeah. I would have died if I didn't get that sushi, about the sushi. What do you think of the season so far?
I think they need to shut it all down.
Really?
Go away for several years and come back with an all-new cast. Because I could not care less about any of these broads. They are uninteresting. You know what? I'm not saying bring back Vicky and Tamra, but... You know, because they're kind of played out, and they're probably over it.
No, they're
maybe
not
they're
over
not.
It. No, I don't think
but
anyone's over
older,
it because
fun
it,
girls yeah. like Hilton. What's her name?
Kathy Hilton.
Kathy Hilton.
Okay. Oh, by the way, did you see that
broads.
She negotiated her salary? Now she's back. The rumor is she's getting $2 million an ep.
Wait a minute, $2 million for the season.
Oh, yes, for the season.
Okay.
Not
I was
per
gonna
episode.
Say, it's not
no,
per
not,
episode.
No. But that is a lot because what I know is very few have ever gotten to $1 million and only a handful that have gotten more than. Like, I think Mimi Pryor was, like, maybe the highest paid or Bethany.
Okay.
But nobody has hit the $2 million mark. And I'm wondering if this is true. Mm-hmm. How does Kyle feel after being on it for 10 years? I know Kathy is older. I just think she's so happy to have, like, her sister not mad at her anymore. But that would kind of bug.
That would kind of bug. But then I guess you have to also weigh the other things that she's gotten out of it.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, but her husband has a business called The Agency.
Oh, Mauricio.
That I hear does quite well.
Right. Oh, well, Kyle. Yeah. Well,
not
Kyle.
That they mention it. At all, but
yes.
He does have that.
Well, that's why I think that they do so well too, because he benefited so much.
Yes.
You know who I think was seeing the road go down and immediately got out? And that's the new girl, Noella's Sweet James attorney husband, who slapped her with divorce papers. And this was happening, and, you know, I follow all this stuff. So while they were filming, I saw it happening. So first we find out he owes $6 million in taxes. And she says, we have this house that's worth $5 million in Puerto Rico. Just sell that house and be done with it, is her story. And then all of a sudden she calls crying, saying he slapped her with divorce papers. I think her joining Real Housewives of OC had to have done something with expediting this divorce.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's that she's told a bunch of times that she's bisexual and she likes cock rings and they have a sex dungeon?
Yeah, I think that might have had something to do with it. Because when you lead with that, you're trying too hard. It means you don't have anything else to talk about. And didn't we already go through that type of mess
Bronwyn? With Bronwyn, but also we had, do you remember the witch from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Oh, dear God.
She had a sex dungeon, too, and she was a witch. Carlton.
You're a person of interest if you have a sex dungeon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who talks about, who else had a sex dungeon? Uday and Kusei Hussein? I mean, who has one and talks about it so openly? That's so weird.
And they show it.
And hygienically disgusting.
I know, and they keep showing it and everything. And then she's just like, yeah. And then Sweet James, I think, was just like,
that makes
I'm out of
James
here.
Sweet James sound like he's not sweet. Like he's freaky James.
I think Sweet James was like, you know, maybe wasn't that pleased in the beginning. Then he was like, I don't want you to do this show. Then she's like, I'm doing the show.
Uh-huh.
She has another child. And that dad wouldn't sign off on that child being in it. So she just now can't even mention that she has a child that's like 7.
Oh, my God. And she's just as pretty as can be.
Well, I mean, she's certainly gorgeous, and yeah. I kind of like seeing the way she speaks and everything. But I think, yeah, I think she thought this is great. And then he was like, I'm a big attorney. I'm on billboards everywhere. I'm on the radio everywhere. And I really – I do not want my life to be on Real Housewives of O.C.
God.
So I think that's why he got out.
I think so,
I mean,
too.
Obviously, they didn't have a great marriage if you're going to file. Yeah. But I think, like, he probably wouldn't have – sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would have, in my opinion, had she not done this show.
Yeah. And Emily and her husband make me so anxious.
Yes.
I can't
– why?
I can't tell watch.
Me.
Because I just feel like at some point – one is going to haul off and slap the other. I just think there's so much bubbling under the surface there. And I don't want to watch them. Shannon, thank you for your service. I don't want to watch anymore. Heather, I get it. You etched your family as birds into a freaking window against everyone's wishes. Shannon really is starting to look like Adrienne Maloof, don't you think?
Well, the thing with Shannon, and she was really honest in the last episode. Mm-hmm. She got too much filler in her face right before the last reunion, so she had to dilute it all.
Oh.
What a bummer. I mean, maybe someone gave it for free. But do you imagine if you paid for filler and then you had to get it sucked out?
Get it – I mean –
but I also, and I was like, wait, she got a, I remember seeing that she got a facelift in a previous one. She didn't get a facelift. She got one of those temporary, like, threading things.
Really? Okay. I've always wanted to hear if those
work.
They
don't work. Okay.
Okay.
They don't work.
Ouch.
You got to get an old-fashioned, facelift. So, speaking of which, Emily says, reveals in the early episode, she did get a lower facelift.
Okay.
Like the neck
that
chin.
That makes sense.
And she and her husband, you were saying, she was on my show.
Yeah.
And yes, their relationship just is fascinating to me because I feel like they're not really connected. There isn't like – but then they're like, no one's going anywhere. But
yeah,
even
it's
the
like
way
they're both stuck in the mud and no one can get out.
And it's like – the way they got together all of a sudden was like, well, we'll just get married. And then he's Mormon, but then his family's Persian. And when I asked her, I go, so you've never been curious about becoming Mormon or anything? And she's like, no, we've just never talked about it. So then someone's like, I think Heather gave her a storyline this season because now she's talking about her daughter getting baptized in the Mormon religion, that the kids go to the Mormon church.
Oh,
so
boy.
I was like, wow. You know, or you're securing your spot to jump over to Salt Lake City. Do you watch Salt Lake City
maybe.
At all?
No, I can't. I can't. I cannot.
It is.
All I do is listen to your recaps.
It is the weirdest group of people ever.
Yes.
And the Mary character who owns the church, I just watched this long interview and on Up and Adam on YouTube. And mm-hmm. he had like Mary's cousin on. And basically, Mary's cousin says, no, our grandmother didn't want her to marry her husband once she died. She was ready to kick Mary out of the church because Mary had a husband who was cheating on him. And then they break up, and then she got with the bishop and then took over the church. And he's like, and they only go to the – they've only been to the church like 6 times in 5 years. I don't know. It was crazy. I'm like, who are these people still giving you money?
I don't understand.
Who is giving – I'm like, where did the money accumulate? Did they just find like 10 people that like all like willed their homes and then they died? Like, I don't know how you would get that much money.
Yeah, this is the same person who was like, it was my birthday and you guys did not represent to the congregation.
Yes.
What congregant would listen to that and say, you know what? She's right. I didn't give enough money to her.
Her tagline is – if you come for me, I'll send Jesus for you.
Jesus does not want your advertising, Mary.
I mean,
leave Jesus out of it.
So is Jesus now the ultimate bully?
No, like, he's not. No. Oh, I rebuke you, Mary. This is terrible. Shame.
What? I'm like, either she is the dumbest person, which she might be, and a producer gave her that tagline and she was like, ooh, I like that. But anybody that was truly a woman of God would be like, I'm not comfortable throwing Jesus' name around in a tagline.
Oh, this is terrible. Yeah, well, you've just solidified my decision not to ever watch. Wow.
Yeah.
I cannot do that. I cannot do that.
Anyway. So, and then this, listen, okay. Then there's the new girl who's the plastic surgeon. She seems fine. Kind of boring, I guess, but whatever.
Again, I don't care.
And what were you saying about Gina?
I think Gina needs to leave Orange County and go back east. I think she would be happier there.
But Shannon is a shitster. That's the way she says Shannon. Shannon. I kind of like her.
Yeah.
She's like grown on me and she's gotten prettier. And she and her new guy, that doesn't seem great.
Again, none of these women, I've had enough. I've had enough. They need to shut this franchise down for several years. Let it lie fallow and come back with another cast. That's what I think.
Well, I think people are watching it, so I don't think they'll do that.
Oh, no, of course they're watching it.
Yeah.
People are rabid fans.
I mean, I'll, like I said, I will watch things. I might hate it, but I will watch it in anger.
Yes.
Do you ever watch 911 on Fox?
I can't watch things in anger anymore.
Okay.
I just can't.
I've always cultivated a family of hate watching.
Okay.
And now my kids and I, it's 911.
Oh.
We just basically.
That is a scripted show though, right?
Right. We just basically make a fun of things that would never exist in Los Angeles because it's about 911 in Los Angeles and like the police and everything. And this would always bother me about CSI too. Their offices are so poorly lit. I mean, if this is a 911, like it's like chic and dark. And I'm like, you're there. Like, I can't imagine that it's like this dark and glam.
No, it's always fluorescent and horrible. Slightly yellow tinged.
Right.
And it's so stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not a nightclub atmosphere.
The other thing that I love about 911 is, which really blow my kids away, is as a writer and stuff, they'll show a little something of what's going on. Like, because sometimes they'll show like a regular person and you're like, wait, what's going to happen? And then I'll like pause the TV and I'm like, the guy's going to get electrocuted, you know, or whatever. And then we all guess what's going to happen.
That's a fun game.
Yes. And then most of the time I'm right, which then pisses them off. But the other stuff is sometimes they take stories from the past that only I am aware of. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like when this kid was kidnapped and this thing happened. And so then I predict the entire show. And I never tell them that it was based off of a real story.
Wow.
That the writer remembered, and so do I.
Oh, speaking of real stories, that girl you were talking about who scammed her way into everyone thinking that she was an 18-year-old writer.
Riley.
Totally remember that. I totally remember that.
Well, I just got an email from somebody who said that they know her, they're doing an event with her or something.
Oh my God.
And so they're gonna help me get her on the show.
She needs to be on because that was
Riley Weston.
I was so impressed that she did that.
I know.
And got away with it for so long.
That's what I want to hear about. Like that's so like unfair. You know, like why can't you just fake your age?
Isn't everybody faking something?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. If you're like, I do believe in, and I'm going to start a movement and you guys get mad at me, but like, I do not identify as my age.
No, you don't.
I identify as 36.
Yes, you do.
I'm 36.
Yes, you are. You so are.
So I don't know, you know, why that isn't a thing.
Well, first of all, if she's giving you what you want,
I know.
Who the hell cares how old she is?
But
don't hate the player, hate the game. You guys made it, so she had to lie.
Yeah.
She was talented.
But do you imagine, though, like going into a writer's room every day and like being like, yeah, I hope my dad sends me some money this week.
You,
like, what? Like,
can't wait to get my SAT scores back, you guys. Yeah, that's insane. But
yeah.
I remember that. And then do you remember when we were coming up in the world that there was a big flap in the trades about some woman going around town saying she was going to be playing Maris Crane on Frasier? Maris, who we famously never see.
Oh, no.
Oh.
What happened?
I want to know what happened to this. People were, you know, the powers that be were like, we have never heard of this lady.
Yeah.
There are no plans to cast Maris. We don't know what she's talking about. We will never see Maris. But she had gone on and done her own campaign of, wee, look at me. I'm going to be Maris.
Well, you know, there was this time where you could, you know, I mean, I remember, this is pretty good. In like Variety or something, there would be like the comedy issue.
Right.
And we would put real estate ads in Variety all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, why don't I put an ad about myself? So I spent $800 of like my real estate money with my headshot.
Oh my
saying,
God.
Like, two shows this week, one at the Groundlings, one at the Improv, you know, call this number to get on the list, whatever. No agent, nobody ever called me. However, all these people did know who I was. All of a sudden, they knew, like, I did get a manager eventually, and they're like, you know, they're big fans, and they, like, know who you are. And then I was like able to get a deal and stuff. And I think that people just was like, oh, yeah, that girl, Heather McDonald, I know who she is. Nobody went to see me.
She's got some balls.
It's like advertising. Like, you know, you don't know where you saw it. Is it a billboard? Was it a this? But back then, you know, and like the Angeline doing the billboard.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a talk show with this girl on, and she was probably like 35 or something. And she was on there about how she lied that she was her own agent.
I remember this. Remember this.
And she got herself an audition for Sister Act 2.
And all the stuff. And she used a British accent.
And she had a recording of barking Doberman pinchers in the back to make it always happen. Yes.
That is brilliant.
Yes. And it reminded me of this podcast that's out right now called the Con of Hollywood or the Queen of Con or something. And I listened to it and it was this whole story that's only happened in the last few years about how these people were getting conned by this woman that presented herself as this big producer, but she would like con like stuntmen and photographers and stuff to come over to, I forgot the part of the country it was. It wasn't Thailand, but it was anyway, to do movies. So she was conning like the more vulnerable people that were just trying to get into the business. So they were like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to be working on this movie. And the con was so weird because they're like, it's not like in the end she made that much money off of. Basically, she would only make money because then the person they'd get in a cab with some weird guy and he'd be like, you have to pay me and then they're going to pay you back. And so they were always out money.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like she was making. So anyway, they realized who it was.
Uh-huh.
It was a man that could change his voice. And then sometimes he would try to have phone sex as a woman with some of the hot men that he was hiring.
Oh my God.
And he was presenting, yeah. And so like a really talented person that could present as other people.
Oh my
goodness. Anyway, I used to do that a little bit for a couple things after watching that.
You know,
I would call from the Ford Modeling Agency.
Oh my God.
To get my friends and I on the list at the Sky Bar.
Oh my goodness. You're good. You're good.
And
from
I'm not
the
saying.
Ford Modeling Agency.
Yes. I'd be like, and I would do an English accent too. I'd be like, hello, this is Caroline from the Ford Modeling Agency. I have a couple models that would like to come to the club tonight. Can I get them on the list? Oh, certainly. It's Heather McDonald, and I think she'll have three girls with her. And then it didn't matter who I brought.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And we looked cute enough. I don't think. I don't think the guy was like, excuse me, turn around. I mean, you're like,
give me your Zed card. No, of course you got in.
I might have gotten in on my own, but I hated doing that hustle. Yes. I just wanted to be on the list, you know?
Yes.
And because it was always so embarrassing if you didn't get right in. So I would do that. And then during my Chelsea years, we all acted like we had personal assistants and stuff to get reservations and things.
That is so brilliant.
Yeah.
And you got
I'm calling from Heather McDonald's office, and she was wondering, but I don't always get stuff. I'm like, don't you have a media rate? And they're like, no. Oh, okay.
Oh. Oh.
Doesn't always work.
Well, I'll take my business elsewhere.
But with that girl that was doing that and representing herself, I remember thinking, that's really smart, you know,
because it makes smart.
Yeah. Like, because she couldn't get representation, but she never really did make it though.
Yeah, that's
like
the thing.
I was like, this is the coup. So you got an audition for Sister Act 2, but you still didn't get the part.
Yeah, are you doing all your acting like you're wasting it all on these phone calls, but you can't get in a room and do an audition? Well, that is such a Oh, God, the 90s. Wow.
Yeah, and also in the 90s, I'd go to this place in Manhattan Beach, and I met this one. It was all tall white guys, and I met this one funny, small black guy who was gay. And, of course, we just hit it off.
Of course.
And he revealed that he would go up to these hot, tall guys, just like the kind I liked, and he'd say, I'm casting a video for the Pointer, for the Pointer Sisters. Because somehow he did know the Pointer Sisters. Yeah. Like, I picked him up one night at one of the Pointer Sisters' house. And he'd get their number. And then he would call back 2 days later and as a girl and say, wait, who is this? Oh, my God, I'm so drunk right now. I'm at a bridal shower. I've been drinking mimosas all day. And I came across this number. This is crazy. Did I meet you on the Body Glove shoot? Were you the photographer? So then the guy realizes a model's talking to me, and then she'd have phone sex with him. He would. He would have phone sex with these straight white guys, and he would present himself as a bikini model that did only body – he was always body glove bikinis.
I am stunned.
So that
this is so much work just to have phone sex.
But then it was like – so then he'd be like – so then we would be out at a bar, and he'd be like, I fucked him. He'd got all these guys' numbers and would have phone sex with him. And then one guy, he was having phone sex with him all the time, and it was like a friend of a girl that he knew. And then they were alone one day, and the guy goes, it's you, right? You're the one who's been calling me. And he's like – and then he said the guy laid back on the bed and said, go for it.
Go for it.
And he let him blow him. As his Christian service or whatever, I don't know.
Okay. Heather McDonald, you have blessed me with so many good stories today.
I mean, that would have told a couple times, but
we might need to do a part two.
Oh my gosh. I know.
So much. Wow.
Tell everybody, girl, what all your stuff.
Okay.
The movie is on what streaming?
So Reno 911, The Hunt for QAnon will be streaming on Paramount Plus starting December 23rd.
Yes.
Reno 911, the series will also be back on Paramount Plus, I think in February. I'm not sure, but there is another full season coming out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Goldbergs. Every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on ABC. We just got 4 more episodes for the season, bumping us up to 22 episodes this season. We just had our 200th.
And you don't know if next year it'll continue yet.
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know. Uh-huh. But we've been going for 9 years. It's like you can't knock it. Let's see. Big City Greens on the Disney Channel.
What's that?
It's a cartoon. It's a really cute cartoon. I play Nancy Green, the motorcycle mama
of
these fun kids. Really, really cute. MODOK, Marvel's MODOK on Hulu with Patton Oswalt and lots of other fun people. It's another animated show.
Oh, my God.
Generation Ripe, my podcast for teenagers over 40, is wherever you listen to podcasts. It's no juicy scoop, but it's okay. What else? What else? I think that's all for now.
God, yeah. You have a lot going on, and you have seven cats.
And seven cats and a sweet husband.
And all seven are coming with you.
Of course.
Because you found a new abode.
A new abode that has plenty of room for catios. You know, anyone who dies should be reincarnated as one of my cats, because you will be spoiled rotten. Just saying.
Who's your favorite one, the Butters?
Butters takes the most amount of time right now because he is gigantic and glorious and extremely emotional.
Okay.
The other six, you know, they take care of themselves.
Okay, as cats should.
As cats should.
Yeah.
But, I have a rich, full, glamorous life.
Definitely sounds like it. Yeah. I had so much fun talking to you.
Oh, my God.
You're everything.
Yes.
We didn't even get – I'll ask you one last question.
Yeah.
Have you ever been attracted to Pete Davidson?
No, but I get it.
So do I.
I get it. It's that funny guy, fake – oh, yeah, shucks. I'm just, you know, just a regular guy.
It's the kind of guy that'll say, here I am talking to a girl that's completely out of my league.
Yes.
Let me just tell you guys, that's a great line.
That is a great line. It always
works.
It clearly works.
I remember when guys would say it to me, I immediately was like, I don't know why it's such a turn on.
It's such a turn on, and all you want to do is make him feel worthy.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Like, how are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I were really young, I'd give him some.
You would.
Yeah,
okay.
I would.
Why not? What is the step bump dance?
That's okay. So from Reno 911, the very first thing I ever filmed was a DUI stop where I'm stopping who is Cedric in a cowboy hat.
Okay.
I think most people don't know that. And we go through all the drunk stuff of, you know, touch your nose and blah, blah, blah. And pretty soon we end up doing this choreographed dance routine.
Okay.
And he finally says, he admits to being drunk. And I say, I gotcha. So that's what the step bump bump is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm ready to, I don't mean to brag, but I do have a subscription to HBO Max. So I'm going to go back and watch my own episode.
You better.
Yeah.
You better. Oh, my God.
Clementine's
Bask
Wedding.
Bask in your brilliance.
Yeah. So excited. All right. Thank you so much for driving
Thank
all the
you.
Way. Have a wonderful holiday.
You too. Thanks for having me.